Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR, 1490 AM, FM 95.9, and also myklgr.com. The NHL trade deadline yesterday. We'll take a look at some of the big moves. The Wild did a couple of things, but not really what you would expect. But we'll take a look at why the Wild did what they did. We'll take a look today at some more Vikings news coming out. Not really anything official, but it does bring up an interesting question for the Vikings. So we'll take a look at that today as well. Plus the Timberwolves last night with another big win. So we'll recap that for you as well. All of that coming up on the show here today. So why don't we get right to it? We'll start off by taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today. And taking a look at our top sports headlines for today, the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Sacramento Kings last night. And the game was close for a while, but the Wolves pulled away in the second half as they end up beating the Kings 118-100. Another win at home, another win against a Western Conference opponent. And we're seeing what we expected with Jimmy Butler out. We're seeing Andrew Wiggins step up, Karl-Anthony Towns getting more looks, but Jeff Teague as well has been picking up the slack. As has Jamal Crawford. So another good win for the Wolves last night as they try to keep pace atop the Western Conference with a daunting schedule coming up here over the next seven games. We'll talk more about that coming up here later on in the week. Some more news from Ian Rappaport, who tweeted that the Vikings were likely to allow Case Keenum to become a free agent, now mentioning that the decision has been made that Teddy's contract will not toll from last year. So Teddy will be set to be a free agent as well here this offseason. Now, it might not mean much and nothing really officially reported, but still, it shows you that the fact that his contract was not tolled likely means that he will at least get a chance to see what his value would be on the open market. So we'll talk about that a little bit here today as well. I completely forgot to mention this happening over the weekend as well. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking themselves out of the quarterback race by coming to an agreement with quarterback Blake Bortles. Bortles, who has been up and down in his tenure with Jacksonville, put it together last year, and the Jaguars able to get to the AFC Championship game. So there is something there, maybe. And Bortles signing an extension with the Jaguars. So we'll take a look at that as well today. Again, completely forgot, but then again, it is Blake Bortles, so that's not all that much of a surprise. Nonetheless, we'll see how that impacts the Vikings' decisions as well here today. The Minnesota Wild made a couple of trades as they traded Mike Riley to the Canadiens for a 2019 fifth round pick, and they also put Chris Stewart on waivers, and Stewart ended up being claimed. So not really flashy moves made by the Wild, but this is where they're at with a lot of contracts tying up a lot of money. There really is not a lot that the Wild can do, having to make moves to even call players up. So we'll look at kind of where the Wild are at when we take a look at the rest of the trades that happened in the NHL from yesterday. And Major League Baseball sending a message to Oakland, Tampa Bay, Miami, and Pittsburgh that they've got to start doing a little bit better job using the money that they get from revenue sharing to help better their ball clubs. And we'll see if there's any sort of punishment levied in this grievance, but nonetheless, a message sent by Major League Baseball that teams need to be putting the best product on the field that they can with the money that they are given by Major League Baseball. So those are your top sports headlines here for today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at all of the moves made in the NHL yesterday, some surprise moves as well. And we'll see where the Wild all fit into this. That's all coming up next here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Back here on The Scoop, and the NHL trade deadline was yesterday, so a lot of teams trying to improve their standings in the playoff push, but also, if not, trying to accumulate some picks or some younger players, try to build around. Let's look at the trades from yesterday. We'll start off. Actually, let's just recap some of the big trades here over the last week. We'll go back to the start of the week and start off with deals that happened going into the weekend. There have been several big ones. We'll start off on the 25th. The New York Rangers trading left wing Rick Nash to the Boston Bruins. They received in return a 2018 first-round pick. Center Ryan Spooner, left wing Matt Beleski, defenseman Ryan Lindgren, and a 2019 seventh-round pick in return for that trade. So you look at where the Rangers are at in the standings. They are last place in the Metropolitan Division in the Eastern Conference, currently 27-30-6. So they're not in a spot where they really can chase a playoff berth. So they're going to have to just get a little younger and come away with some prospects. Also, on the 25th, the Montreal Canadiens trading center Thomas Pekanik and right wing Kyle Braun to Toronto for a 2018 seventh-round pick, defenseman Renat Valiev, and left wing Kirby Reichel. So for the Canadiens, they are also in a similar spot. Montreal, 23-29-10. So trying to just get a little bit younger as we head towards the end of the season. We also had center Mark Letestu sent from Nashville over to the Columbus Blue Jackets for a 2018 fourth-round pick. And Letestu was actually traded from Edmonton the same day for left-wing Pontus Aberg. So a couple of moves there by the Predators who acquire Letestu and then flip him for a fourth-round pick. Makes sense for Nashville. Even though they're in first place in the Central Division, 38-14-9, good deal for them to acquire a pick for a player that they didn't really intend to use. And that was also due to them acquiring left wing Brandon Bolig and goalie Troy Grosnick from the Sharks for a 2018 sixth-round pick. So Predators acquiring a couple of depth pieces for a sixth-round pick. Then they trade another wing to the Predators for a center. They then flip for a fourth-round pick. So not a bad deal for them. Let's go to the big deals made before the deadline. The Rangers, very active. They traded defenseman Ryan McDonagh and center JT Miller to Tampa Bay for a 2018 first-round pick, a 2019 conditional second-round pick, left wing Vladislav Namitsnikov, center Brett Howden, and defenseman Libor Hajek. So the Rangers basically, like, we're done. We're not going to make the playoffs, so we got to just try to get as much for talent as we can. The Blues, in a bizarre development, doing the same thing as they sent center Paul Stastny to the Winnipeg Jets for a 2018 first-round pick, a 2020 fourth-round pick, and left-wing Eric Foley. The Sharks, San Jose Sharks, acquiring Evander Kane in a another trade that could certainly be viewed as a big one. The Buffalo Sabres sending Kane to the Sharks for center Danny O'Regan, a 2019 conditional first-round pick, and a 2020 conditional fourth-round pick. So a big move as well for the Sharks, who are currently in second place in the Pacific Division, trying to keep pace with Vegas, although the Golden Knights appear to pretty much have the Pacific Division locked up with a 12-point lead at this point in the season. Vegas also making a big move as they acquired left-wing Thomas Tatar for a 2018 first-round pick, a 2019 second-round pick, and a 2021 third-round pick from Detroit. So Vegas makes a move. The Sharks make a move to try to keep pace. And you see the Blues taking a step back to try to kind of reload, rebuild and reload as well. The New Jersey Devils acquiring left wing Patrick Maroon for a 2019 third-round pick and center J.D. Dudek from the Oilers. Thomas Vanek headed from Vancouver over to the other side of the bracket with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So a big move made there. And Vanek has been a player who's been traded quite a bit throughout his NHL tenure. Vancouver, in return, receives center Tyler Motte and left wing Juuse Joikkinen to complete that trade. The Chicago Blackhawks, weird seeing them in this position as they send right wing Ryan Hartman and a 2018 fifth-round pick to Nashville for a 2018 first-round pick, a 2018 fourth-round pick, and center Victor Edsel. So Chicago is in a similar spot to where the Wild are at right now, where you've got just so many big contracts, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on with why the Wild are doing what they're doing. You just have so many big contracts on the books that you really have to essentially trade people to make any moves. And we're seeing the Blackhawks just try to get a little bit younger and trying to take a step back. I mean, last place in the Central Division, which is just bizarre. But you look at it too. They're 27, 28, and 8 in the Western Conference, and will need to just get younger. They're not really even remotely close to the playoffs at this point. 23 points behind Nashville in the standings. So makes sense for them to try to acquire some first-round picks, and they did that in the Hartman trade. The Wild, one of the moves that they did make was trading defenseman Mike Riley to the Canadiens for a 2019 fifth-round pick. Not a whole lot received in terms of value for Riley, but at the same time, they literally had to do this in order to be able to call anybody up. And they've got some good prospects in the minors that could help them out, but have to do that with no salary cap space. Got to do that simply to get some fresh bodies up. Some other moves made on the trade deadline day. Calgary acquiring center Nick Shore from the Ottawa Senators for a 2019 seventh-round pick. Pittsburgh Penguins acquire center Josh Joris in a trade with the Carolina Hurricanes for center Greg McKegg. Boston received center Tommy Wingles from Chicago in a 2019 fifth-round pick, going back to the Blackhawks. Some other moves made throughout the day. The Anaheim Ducks acquiring left wing Jason Kamara from New York and headed back to the Islanders goes center Chris Wagner. Other trades made throughout the trade deadline yesterday include the Winnipeg Jets acquiring defenseman Joe Morrow from the Canadiens for a 2018 fourth-round pick. Vegas helping their defense. They acquire Philip Horn from Vancouver for left wing Brendan Lysbick. And a couple more here as the Columbus Blue Jackets acquiring defenseman Ian Cole from the Ottawa Senators for center Nick Mutrie and a 2020 third-round pick. Defenseman Ryan Graves going to Anaheim, to the Avalanche, I should say, from the New York Rangers for defenseman Chris Bigras. And also, two more trades that happened on deadline day. The Blue Jackets acquiring center Ryan Kujawinski from Arizona for center Jordan Mileta and center Carter Camper. And Nashville acquiring center Tyler Gaudet and defenseman John Ramage for defenseman Trevor Murphy and left wing Pierre-Cedric Labrie from Arizona. So a very busy day for the NHL at the trade deadline. Some big moves made, and we'll have a special guest on the show tomorrow to help further break down the trade deadline, Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports will be helping us break down all of these moves and which ones had the biggest impact on the NHL as a whole. But back to the Wild here for a second. As we saw them make a couple of moves, they made the one trade and also had Chris Stewart claimed off of waivers. And that will, as a result, allow them to try to get some fresh bodies up to help the roster. The Wild's currently 35-20-7, and they are hosting St. Louis tonight. Now, you look at what they lost in Mike Riley, who was kind of a grinder throughout his tenure here. Riley had 2 goals, 8 assists, 18 penalty minutes, and a -6 rating in a career-high 38 games this season for the Wild. Just 24 years old, made his NHL debut January 9th, 2016, and has been up and down the last couple of years. Jonas Brodin due back after he recovered from an injury. So yet another injury that the Wild have had to deal with. Brodin back from his injury, so that made sense that they put Riley on, trade him to fill up a roster spot. So it'll be interesting to see. Riley was a former Gopher, but has been a good player, and he had some well wishes for the fans after he was traded. So that was pretty much the big move for the Wild yesterday. And also with Chris Stewart being put on waivers and now being acquired by the Calgary Flames. That is another spot that the Wild can use to call up some much-needed help talent-wise. So that's a little bit of a recap of the trade deadline from yesterday. As I said, we'll talk more about it with Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports tomorrow on the show. So if you are interested in hearing a little bit more about those trades, you can do so tomorrow here on The Scoop. For now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the news today that Teddy Bridgewater's contract is not going to toll. We'll also talk a little bit about that Blake Bortles extension and see what effect that will have on the Vikings' decisions at quarterback. That's all coming up next here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and again, another scoop for Ian Rappaport, who had the news yesterday on Case Keenum. He also has been hearing from sources throughout the NFL that Teddy Bridgewater is expected to become a free agent, as it sounds like his contract will not toll. And this also reported by several other sources. From this morning, with March looming and some murkiness around Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater's contract, he is expected to become a free agent, sources say. Minnesota is not planning to assert that his contract tolls, and Bridgewater is proceeding as if he will be a free agent. Now, same scenario with Case Keenum. That does not mean, per se, that Bridgewater is done here in Minnesota. This just means that he is going to see where his value's at on the market. With both quarterbacks, there is the possibility that they go see what their value is on the market and are not as enthused about what they find. So then they sign one-year deals to return here to the Vikings and then try it again after another kind of prove-it season. That certainly still is in play, but you look at what Bridgewater was able to do as a Vikings quarterback, led the team to 11-5, and there was plenty of, but even with Bridgewater, there were plenty of holes on that team. The offensive line was bad. You still had Adrian Peterson, who wanted to be the bell cow, and Norv Turner really playing to that. So Teddy not asked to do a whole lot, which is why his numbers looked the way they did. Bottom line is this. They went in the playoffs up against Seattle, and the Seahawks having one of the most dominant defenses in football at that point. They completely shut down the Vikings offense throughout the day. But Bridgewater led a drive down to get the Vikings into field goal position to win that game. And the Vikings had a chance. Blair Walsh had a chance to make that 27-yard field goal and send the Vikings to a win. He missed it. But Bridgewater certainly did his part to lead the team to that spot. Bridgewater, by and large, has been called a guy who just knows how to win by coaches and teammates, and might not put up the best stats, but is still going to be able to put a team in a position to come away with a win if they more often than not. So he will be a quarterback that I would guess will get some looks, but it's going to be interesting to see what sort of market there is for Bridgewater, considering what he has gone through in his career. Suffered that just gruesome leg injury, and really only had a chance to see him play a couple of snaps in a real game this past year against the Bengals. Went 0-for-2 with an interception. Now the pick, not really anything to really get all bent out of shape about. But you've got a guy who battled back quicker than anyone else has in similar situations, in knee injuries like that. A lot of people took two full years to get back. Bridgewater was able to do it in, I believe, 16 months. So well ahead of the expected recovery time, which shows just what kind of a person he is mentally. So there are a lot of things to like about what Bridgewater brings to the table. And with the assumption that you sign Bridgewater as a quarterback, if the Vikings were able to go that route, then they would be able to free up a lot of money to do some other things. And I've, again, I don't mean to use this philosophy over and over and over and over again, but it's something that I think bears repeating. You either shell out big money for a quarterback, get the position shored up for the long term, or you go with a cheaper quarterback option and you maximize the talent around them. And I was thinking about it the other day, and if the Vikings do something with Cousins like a five-year deal where they give him the option to opt out after 2 years, then you're looking at the 2 years that you have the most cap flexibility. The Vikings are going to have something like $60 million in cap space over the next couple of seasons. So you sign Cousins for somewhere around $25 to $30 million. For Cousins, you still have, you know, $25 to $30 million to work with for the rest of your offseason needs. So it's not like he's the only move you can make. I mean, they could still sign some quality free agents around him, not necessarily the top guys, although the top guys might not even be available. When you look at some of the moves that Carolina made this week in cutting Kurt Coleman and also cutting Charles Johnson to free up some cap room, trying to sign their best offensive lineman, Andrew Norwell, who would be a good option for the Vikings to look at. So if Norwell doesn't make it, then you're not going to have to spend $11 million to bring in an offensive lineman. So there are plays that they could make. There are signings they could make if they go with Cousins that would still give them an incredibly talented team. Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman, we've had him on the show a few times, had this tweet earlier today. Fun with stats. Kirk Cousins has thrown for over 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns with an interception percentage under 2.5% each of the past three seasons. The Vikings have had three such seasons in their 57 years of being an NFL franchise. So the desire to get a quarterback that's going to fix the position, we're not going to have to be talking about who's going to be the quarterback every year. The desire is definitely warranted by Vikings fans who have struggled through all manner of quarterbacks who have been brought here to try to fix the position and haven't been able to do it. So it makes sense that when you have an option that has been successful, that you would go that route. Now, it could be that the Vikings are trying to avoid what just happened with Jacksonville, where they signed Blake Bortles to a massive extension, 3 years, $54 million, because you look at what Bortles has done over the course of his career. Started in 2014, 11 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Then in 2015, had 35 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, 4,400 yards. A lot of that, though, in garbage time, or with the Jaguars trailing by a lot late. 2016, he had 23 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. And then this past year, he threw for 3,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and completed a career-high 60.2% of his passes. But you look at how he finished the season, and you go to the... he threw 5 of his 16 picks in the first two games of the year. Actually, in the last two games of the year. But what he did in the postseason, he threw for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, in wins against Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and New England. So for the Jaguars, I mean, they could have gotten involved with the quarterback carousel if they really wanted to, but I think they felt like it was a situation where they didn't need a top quarterback to be able to combine with that that defense that they've got and the running game that they have. They figured they didn't need a top quarterback to be able to be successful, and I think that's where the Vikings figure they are at as well. Now, it's fair to wonder if giving Kirk Cousins $25 or $30 million a season is proactive, or if it is if it's wise. But look at it this way. The other options are two quarterbacks on this roster that have knee concerns. Sam Bradford has had multiple knee surgeries. Teddy Bridgewater coming off of that massive knee injury, or a guy who put it together for one season, but that's about all we've had from him in his time in the NFL. So you're either going to get one of those guys, or you can get a guy who, as I mentioned, has thrown for 4,000 yards, 25 or more touchdowns, and has an interception percentage of 2.5% the last three seasons. So what that tells me is known commodity. And yes, maybe he hasn't won big games, but that will, I think, be something that we look at here in the next couple of weeks is, has he been in an opportunity to do so? Or has it been a example of where the defense has not been in a spot where he had the chance to? Just look at what happened with the game against the Vikings this past year. Case Keenum torched the Redskins for 38 points. That's not something that is particularly easy for a quarterback of the opposing team to be able to overcome. So some big questions for the Vikings that they'll have to try to answer here in the coming weeks. But enough on the quarterback situation. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll recap another big win for the Timberwolves last night. That's coming up next here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Your home for Redwood Valley Cardinal Athletics all season long. KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Back here on The Scoop, and the Minnesota Timberwolves continue to find life after Jimmy Butler, at least for now, as they beat the Sacramento Kings last night by a score of 118-100. The game was fairly close through the early portion of the night, with the Timberwolves having a three-point lead at the half, 63-60. The big turning point in the game was a 34-17 third quarter as the Wolves build up a massive lead and needed only 21 points in the fourth quarter to put away the Kings. So now the Wolves 38-26. They are 13-19 on the road. And kind of what we expected with how things would look after Butler went down, you look at the minute distribution, Taj Gibson had 35. Nemanja Bjelica worked his way into the starting lineup with 34 minutes and played very well. Andrew Wiggins with 37 minutes. Karl-Anthony Towns had 39. And Jeff Teague finished with 33 minutes in that starting lineup. Then off the bench, Gorgui Dieng with 22 minutes. Tyus Jones with 15. And Jamal Crawford with 24. So the Wolves essentially going one less player in the rotation, just mixing more minutes around for everybody. But you look at what this starting five did last night. Taj Gibson, 15 points, 5 boards. Nemanja Bjelica had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and was a plus 22 in those 34 minutes. Andrew Wiggins had 22 points. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Also had a rebound, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. Karl-Anthony Towns, 26 points on 9 of 10 shooting. He was 8 of 8 from the free throw line and had 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and was a plus 21. And then Jeff Teague, 4 of 14 from the field, but 11 of 12 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. So pretty much the entire starting lineup a plus 14 or better. And this, I think, is going to be the way that we see things going for the Wolves going forward. And I think this represents a method that can be very successful for the Timberwolves. You had Karl-Anthony Towns getting an uptick in usage. He did finish with only 10 field goal attempts, but also at 8 free throws, so that means he certainly was busy inside and had those 17 rebounds to boot. Andrew Wiggins, and I talked about this earlier when we dove into just some of the reasons why Wiggins' numbers have dipped. Had the 6 free throw attempts from the game, made 5 of them, so he was aggressive, was slashing to the basket, and was picking up some calls as well. So we're seeing the Wolves be able to fantastically adapt because they're not getting the same player that Butler was defensively in Wiggins, but they're getting pretty much the exact same offensive player that Butler was in Wiggins. So they're able to, I think, make things fit a little more comfortably on offense, having Wiggins as the 2, Bealitza as the 3, and then you've got Gibson as the 4, Towns as the 5. And Bealitza is certainly capable of hitting threes from outside, so he presents a little bit of a matchup problem for some of those small forwards. The key is going to be if Jamal Crawford can consistently hit shots, because if they go with Bealitza now in the starting rotation, Crawford is going to be the one that's expected to hit shots coming off the bench. And 2 of 11 last night, which was not great. He was 2 of 7 from 3, but did have 4 assists and a steal, so was still active. He finished as a plus 1. But you look at what Crawford has done in the last couple of games since Butler went down. He finished with 14 points against Houston, had 19 points against Chicago. He was 5 of 8 from 3, and then the 6 points against the Kings. So that will fluctuate, and we've seen that from Crawford. He seems to be either really, really on or really not. And we'll just chalk last night up to just not really being in a good flow for the game. So nothing really to get concerned about there, but he is going to take more of a featured role off the bench for the Wolves now that Butler is gone. But you look at this stretch for the Timberwolves that they are in the midst of, and now in third place thanks to an assist from the Houston Rockets last night. The Wolves are a half game up on the Spurs, but Houston able to beat Denver, so that put another loss in the loss column for the Wolves. They're just one up in the loss column of the 8 seed Denver Nuggets, which is a little bit scary when you look at what they've got coming up, but at the same time, that just speaks to how good the West has been overall. Now, that stretch, as I mentioned, that the Timberwolves are in, and we'll use the barometer, is when Butler went down to look at where this team is going. So February 23rd, Butler went down. Then the next night, home against Chicago, the Wolves won. And then last night they won. Now they go like this. Thursday the 1st at Portland, and Portland is currently sitting in the 6th spot, 34-26. They're 17-11 at home. Wolves have struggled on the road, so that's not an easy task at all. Then Utah, who is 31-30. They had won 11 in a row before Houston also beat them. And fascinating, too, that there have been just 3 times where a team has played Denver and Utah on the road in, I believe it's a back-to-back or it's just two consecutive games. And Houston is only the third team in the last several years to be able to beat both, which is staggering to tell you how good of a year Houston is having if you needed any further indication. But nonetheless, they've got Utah, as mentioned, who is currently in the 10th spot. So they're hanging around for a Western Conference playoff spot. Then you got Boston at home, 43-19. They're a half game out of first in the East. And then Sunday the 11th, home against Golden State, who is currently in the 2 spot, half game out. They're 47-14. And 24-7 at home, 23-7 on the road. So they're basically good everywhere. So you've got Portland, Utah, Boston, Golden State at Washington on the 13th. Washington's currently the 4 seed, 35-25. So that's not an easy game. Then you've got, oh yeah, the Spurs on March 17th at San Antonio. The Spurs, 36-25. They're 22-6 at home. Then on the 18th, home against Houston. The 20th, home against the Clippers. Houston is the number 1 seed in the West, 47-13. Half game ahead of the Warriors. And the Clippers, currently in the 9th spot. They're 31-27. So they're above 500 as well. Then Friday, the 23rd, at the Knicks. And the Knicks, currently 24-38. But they... we're playing much better until Kristaps Porzingis got hurt. Then you've got the Philadelphia 76ers, who are the 7 seed right now at 32-26, beat the Wolves earlier this year. Then Monday the 26th of March, home against Memphis. Memphis is near the bottom of the West at 18-41. Atlanta at home, and we know about Atlanta. They're the worst team in the Eastern Conference at 18-43. And then they finish off the month of March at Dallas. Dallas is 19-42. So a pivotal stretch here for the Wolves. But as we saw, if they can get through that March 18th game against Houston and be in relatively good shape, which is 7 games. I mean, if they go 4-3 or 3-4 in that stretch, then you look at the schedule the rest of the way. And they should be able to rattle off some quality wins at the end of the season to hopefully propel them into the playoffs. So currently the 3 seed right now, but that's going to go back and forth several times here over the next couple of weeks. But for all the, I guess, gloom and doom of Jimmy Butler's injury, it seems like the Wolves have a logical path and a way to be able to lock up one of those top seeds in the playoffs as long as they continue to go with what's working, which is Wiggins in attack mode, more of Karl-Anthony Towns, and getting Jeff Teague to assist as well. Those all are going to be some things that will help them along the way. So we'll see how things play out over the next couple of weeks. And we'll talk plenty of Timberwolves basketball tomorrow with John Folkey of the Timberwolves Radio Network, also Dan Slabaugh on Friday. So that's a little bit of a look at what went well last night for the Wolves and how they continue to keep pace in the West here as we approach the final moments of the regular season. We're going to take our final break. We will come back with What's on Deck. That's on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
Taking a look at what's on deck here for tonight. We'll start off in the NBA. Chicago is at Charlotte at 6 o'clock tonight. Brooklyn at Cleveland at 6 o'clock. Philadelphia at Miami at 6:30. Washington at the Milwaukee Bucks at 7 o'clock. Sacramento's at Portland at 9 o'clock. And the Los Angeles Clippers are at Denver at 9:30 tonight. Over to Big Ten. Men's basketball, again, no games tonight. They will have a couple of games tomorrow, including the Gophers, who will take on Rutgers. NHL schedule with the trade deadline in the books. Carolina at Boston at 7 Eastern. New Jersey at Pittsburgh at 7 Eastern. Ottawa at Washington at 7 Eastern. Toronto at Florida at 7:30 Eastern. St. Louis at the Minnesota Wild tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Nashville is at Winnipeg at 8 o'clock Eastern. Calgary at Dallas at 8:30 Eastern. Los Angeles at the Vegas Golden Knights at 10:30 Eastern. And Edmonton at San Jose at 10:30 Eastern. And Major League Baseball, spring training. And plenty of games currently underway. St. Louis at Boston, Pittsburgh at Atlanta, Miami at Washington, Detroit at Philadelphia, Baltimore at Tampa Bay, the New York Yankees at Toronto, Houston at the New York Mets, Oakland at Cleveland, Seattle at Kansas City, Cincinnati at Milwaukee, Chicago White Sox at the Chicago Cubs, Texas at the Los Angeles Dodgers, Arizona at San Francisco, San Diego at Seattle, the Los Angeles Angels at Colorado, and later tonight, 5:05 start, Boston at the Minnesota Twins. That is a look at what's on deck here for tonight. It's time to wrap it up. That does it for today's edition of The Scoop. We got a jam-packed edition of The Scoop tomorrow. We'll be joined by John Folkey of the Timberwolves Network to recap the first couple of games out of the break for the Timberwolves and the aftermath of the Jimmy Butler injury. Plus, we'll talk to Brandon Warren. We'll recap all of the Twins free agent signings and get you ready to roll for spring training, which is underway right now. Have a great rest of your afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow at 3:05.